a cheese riddle. Excuse me, Giorgio. What do you get when you add mozzarella to an ordinary tomato? Something to sing about. That's right. Cheese makes it taste better. So don't forget the cheese.
Well, we didn't need that commercial from 1990 to remind those of us in Wisconsin to eat our cheese. Cheese has always been big business here and big on our menus in America's Dairyland. And while California touts its happy cows and is taking a bite out of our claim to dairy fame, Wisconsin cheesemakers are stepping up to the plate and doing us proud, as we will find out this hour. Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 10 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Tuesday, July the 1st. And we will talk about cheese this hour, Wisconsin cheeses, especially Wisconsin's artisanal and specialty cheeses. And we will welcome your nominations for the best cheese, the best Wisconsin cheese you have ever had. 1-800-642-1234. In Madison, 263-1890. Or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Our guest is Jeanette Hurt, author of The Cheeses of Wisconsin, a culinary travel guide. She joins us by telephone. Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, I gained weight just reading your book. And I think I'm going to gain some more as I seek out some of these cheeses that are being made in Wisconsin. This is huge. A lot of specialty cheeses being made all over the state.
There really are. Wisconsin makes more than 1,000 different dairy products, most of them cheeses.
Yeah. So did you taste test all of the cheeses in your book?
I taste tested all the cheeses in my book.
Yeah. And that's probably hundreds.
There were definitely hundreds. My husband, who loves cheese, was thrilled when I was doing my research and I'd come back after being on the road visiting and meeting with cheesemakers, and then I'd come home with a cooler filled with cheese.
Yeah. So you live in Wisconsin now. You're in Milwaukee?
Yep.
And you, your grandfather was a dairy farmer.
Yes, he was. He grew up on a dairy farm in Pine Creek, Wisconsin. That's outside La Crosse, and it is across the river from Winona, Minnesota.
Mm-hmm. But you spent your early years in Chicago, so you're not a Wisconsin native.
Nope.
Yeah, but did Grandpa get you started on your love of cheese?
Grandpa liked cheese, but Grandpa died when I was 18 months old, I was just starting on eating food at that age.
Mm-hmm. Well, what started your love of cheese?
It's one of those things. When I was at Marquette University, I studied abroad for 6 months in Madrid. And when I was living in Madrid, of course, you eat a lot of exotic cheeses when you're living abroad, if that's part of the diet. And that I ate a lot of Manchego, and I had a friend who lived in the Loire Valley. And I went in France, and I visited her a couple of times. And when I went to visit her, of course, when you go to France, there are absolutely amazing cheeses. So when I came back from studying abroad, that's what really got me started in cheese.
Yeah, indeed. You also have another book on cheese out, The Complete Idiot's Guide to the Cheeses of the World. I didn't get a chance to read that one. But when you bring up France and its cheese, I remember an article not so long ago where the author was saying, hey, you know, Wisconsin, you brag about your cheese, but France has it all over you. The cheeses of France are so much better than the cheeses of Wisconsin. Do you agree?
No, not at all. Now, you're talking, it depends, of course, if you're talking about the mass market commodity cheese versus specialty or artisanal cheese. But in terms of artisan cheese, our artisan cheese is as good or better than some of the cheeses of France. A good example of this is in the World Cheese Championship this year, a Wisconsin cheese took the best blue cheese. It also, Wisconsin cheese also took a slew of other awards at this conference, but the one I'm most familiar with is the blue cheese.
Mm-hmm. Do you recall where that was from?
That was Seymour cheese, I believe. Mm-hmm. Also, I know in previous years, Montfort Creamery took Best of Blue at the World Cheese Championship, and they also beat out Italian's Gorgonzola. So, for the Gorgonzola cheese category.
Do you have a favorite Wisconsin cheese?
It's whatever Wisconsin cheese I happen to be eating at the moment.
What are you eating at the moment?
Right now, I am eating Saxon Homestead Creamery's Greenfields cheese. It is a washed rind, but it is not a typical washed rind. In the way that they do it, they coat it in a light coating of wax so that it preserves its shape. It's sort of like a Gruyere-type cheese, but it's an American original. And it also happens to be one of the prettiest cheeses, I think. Saxon Homestead Creamery has some really interesting cheese molds so that when the cheeses come to you, the edge of their rind has a pattern of leaves on the outside. It's just gorgeous, pretty. Actually. Yeah.
Well, we're going to check our weather forecast, and then we will continue talking about Wisconsin cheeses. We'll talk some about the history and importance of cheesemaking in Wisconsin and how, in the past few years, these artisanal and specialty cheeses began flourishing just in the last 5 or 10 years or so. Jeanette Hurt, our guest, author of The Cheeses of Wisconsin, and we welcome your favorite cheese. 1-800-642-1234. In Madison, 263-1890. Or send an email to talk@wpr.org. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Good to have you with us on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 18 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Tuesday, July the 1st. Coming up this afternoon, it's At Issue with Ben Marins. After 5, Ben and his guest, Wisconsin U.S. Representative Ron Kind, will talk about the legislation of the 110th Congress. That's coming up after 5 this afternoon. We are talking Wisconsin cheeses. And we welcome your favorite Wisconsin cheese. And where do you find it? 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Please include your first name and your community with your email. Our guest is the granddaughter of a Wisconsin dairy farmer and a Wisconsin resident, Jeanette Hurt. Her book is The Cheeses of Wisconsin, A Culinary Travel Guide. And before we go to the phones, Jeanette, when I was reading your book, I thought about when I was growing up, and I'm a Wisconsin native, and Dad always had sharp cheddar cheese. That was his absolute favorite. That is, cheddar cheese and Wisconsin go hand in hand, don't they?
Yes, they do.
Yeah, how did that come about?
It's one of those cheeses that developed when Wisconsin was developing as a dairy state back in the 1800s. That's also when Wisconsin actually developed two American original cheeses, Brick and Colby.
Yeah, in fact, Colby, Wisconsin we've got a town named after the cheese, don't we?
Yep. Yeah. Or we have, I think the cheese is named after the
cheese. Yeah, there we go. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, and so why was it that, how did Wisconsin become, America's Dairyland? Why is it that, dairy and cheese are so big here?
Well, Wisconsin has ideal growing conditions for grass and clover, and despite what another state might say about enjoyment of their bovines, our temperatures are really ideal for cows.
Yeah, we have happy cows in Wisconsin, happier cows than California.
They tend to like I did some research and talking with people, cows tend to like it to be about 50 to 60 degrees. They're not into really, really hot weather or really, really cold weather. And during our springs and falls, in normal years anyway, 50 or 60 degrees is pretty normal.
Yeah. Yeah, so how much, I mean, we hear, though, that California really is staking its claim, trying to taking away our status as America's Dairyland. Is it?
Well, back in, I believe it was 1990 or 1993, they did take away our mantle in terms of the most milk production. And that's not surprising when you have ranches with more than 2,000 cows. I mean, I've been out to California, and they do have some good cheeses, and they have some good artisanal cheese. But Wisconsin has more than 100 cheesemakers who make specialty cheese. California has maybe 60 cheesemakers statewide. It's possible that commodity-wise, they could make more cheese than we would. But depending on who you talk to, some people say that's inevitable, and other people say, they've got a long ways to go.
Yeah, and the typical Wisconsin dairy farmer, or the one who's involved in making these cheeses anyway, about 80 cows on
a farm? Average dairy farmer mm-hmm. across the state, 88 cows. Whereas California's average dairy farmer has 800 cows, and whereas even Vermont's average dairy farmer has 100 cows.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and when you say commodity-wise, are you talking...
We're talking plants that make hundreds and hundreds of pounds of cheese per day.
It's the kind of
vacuum-packed, boring cheeses.
Yeah, Velveeta?
Velveeta is one of them. Velveeta is actually a processed cheese, which means it's got real cheese in it, but it's not a real cheese.
Mm-hmm.
Because it also has a bunch of emulsifying salts and preservatives.
Right. Well, we have a number of callers. Let me work some in. Amy in Verona is with us first. Hi, Amy. You're on the air.
Hello. Hi, Jeanette. I had the pleasure of interviewing you for Wisconsin Dairy News at Fromagination a couple weeks ago. And I couldn't agree with you more about Saxony, the Saxon cheese.
Oh, it's delicious, isn't it?
It's wonderful. And another one of my favorites from Saxon Creamery is the Big Ed.
Okay, yep.
What is that?
It's almost indescribable. it's got a wonderful taste to it. And if I can do a little quick promotion, Jeanette is going to be featured on Wisconsin Dairy News, which airs on Channel 27 during their morning show on July 21st. So if you just can't get enough of Jeanette, you will see her there
well. That's fine.
We
made a note of it, Amy. Thanks very much.
Oh, wonderful. And I just, I'm really looking forward to her book. And I haven't read it yet, but I got to page through it, and it's quite comprehensive. And
yeah.
All the best to you, Jeanette.
Thanks, Amy.
So, Jeanette, thanks very much for the call, Amy. Jeanette, where were you and Amy at what event?
We were at Fromagination for a book signing.
And what is that?
If you haven't been to Fromagination, it's an amazing cheese store in Madison, right on the square.
And they sell all these cheeses or many of these cheeses?
They sell a lot of Wisconsin's artisanal cheeses. They also sell specialty cheese from around the world. And I would say even more important than the cheeses they sell, they take really good care in handling their cheese. So you know that when you get there, it's really fresh, it's been really well handled, and it's wonderful cheese.
In case listeners wonder what TV station you're going to be on, WKOW-TV Channel 27 is a Madison station, so if people live outside of Madison, you'll have to maybe go to the website. Maybe it'll be on the website. Ron in Duluth is with us next. Hi, you're on the air.
When you're talking about specialty cheeses and artisan cheeses, do you mean cheeses made from unpasteurized raw milk?
Some is raw milk, but some, it depends on the cheesemaker, and it depends on the cheese. Some is pasteurized. What I mean by specialty or artisan cheese, it's either an unusual cheese, or it's cheese that's been made with extreme care, usually in very small batches.
So you don't think that it's necessary to have raw milk No. You don't lose anything by pasteurizing it?
I would say it depends on the cheese and the cheese maker. In the United States, by law, you're not supposed to sell cheese, that unaged cheese that hasn't been pasteurized unless it's been aged more than 60 days. So for any sort of brie-like cheese or fresh mozzarella, for example, legally they can't sell it.
Well, that puts a crimp in sales.
I know of one Wisconsin cheesemaker who gets around that law by selling her unaged sheep's milk cheese that is made with raw milk as fish bait.
Oh, so people can buy it as
fish bait. Fish bait.
But they can choose whether or not they want to eat it.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And that's Trade Lake Cedars fish bait. They also have amazing aged cheeses as well. And I would actually trust her milk because she tests every single batch to make sure that it's not contaminated.
Yeah. But anything else, Ron?
No, thank you.
Yeah, thanks a lot. So it doesn't have to be raw milk to be a specialty cheese.
No.
The definition of artisan cheese or specialty cheese is just that. It's just a small batch, and it's sort of handmade by someone.
It's either handmade or made in small batches, or if it's at a slightly larger plant, and Wisconsin's cheese plants aren't nearly as large. I mean, there are some of them that are large, but in general, they're not huge plants, even if they're medium-sized. But it's the care that goes into the cheese.
Yeah. And thanks, Ron. Tom in Columbus is with us now. Hi, Tom.
Good morning. Excellent show as per usual.
Well, thank
Hope you all have a safe forest.
Mm-hmm.
I just love some of the Swisses that come out of the Monroe area. I think they're fantastic. Some of that might be sentimental, but used to hunt a lot down there with my dad. And, in the mornings when we got a late start, we'd throw our sausages in and stuff at home and then pick up some cheeses at some of the smaller creameries that had retail places down there. And it was always good. But it was my understanding on the California issue that I hauled milk for 10 years, had 5 trucks, and it was my understanding that they surpassed us in hundredweight of production, but that and that ebbed and flowed. Times we were a little ahead, times they were a little ahead. But again, Carnation, some of the big boys had some monstrous farms out there, and there are some monstrous ones here now too, but regardless, most of their milk went into fluid milk, into, just the population base demanded it for the drinking, and it was not made into the manufacturing. And, we continue and probably will always continue to dust them as far as the amount of cheese production and the quality of cheese production. I mean, I don't think there's any comparison. I've seen an unhappy cow or two in my day, but I wouldn't want to sweat in that desert out there, So anyway.
Thank you so much, Tom. We don't have time before our news break for a response to Jeanette, but we will get one after we check news from National Public Radio and Wisconsin Public Radio. And we're looking for your cheese questions and your favorite Wisconsin cheeses. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. We are celebrating Wisconsin cheeses this hour. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 6:36 on this first day of July. We are talking about cheese and how a little bit of the history of cheese making in Wisconsin and the future of cheese making in Wisconsin. And we are seeing that future playing out right now with growing number of artisanal and specialty cheeses being made right here in our great dairy state. We wonder if you have any questions about artisanal specialty cheeses, whether you have a favorite cheese, Wisconsin cheese. 1-800-642-1234. In Madison, 263-1890. Or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Our guest is Jeanette Hurt. She is author of The Cheeses of Wisconsin, a culinary travel guide. She also has another cheese book out, The Complete Idiot's Guide to the Cheeses of the World. just published in April of 2008. We heard from Tom just before news, who said that he has a special affection for Swiss cheeses that he finds in the Monroe, Wisconsin area. Swiss cheese, Jeanette, pretty big in southwestern Wisconsin, yes?
Yes, it is. Also, that region that he was talking about also is known for its Limburger.
Oh, that is the stinky stuff, right?
Yes, it is, although it's not nearly as stinky as some of the, when you start getting into specialty cheeses.
What's the stinkiest specialty cheese?
When you start talking about things like people who really like cheese, if you're a stinky French cheese, for example, is Reblochon, a stinky Italian cheese is Taleggio, and those, both of those probably are stinkier than Limburger, but Limburger's got the stinky reputation.
Mm-hmm.
I happen to think it's a great cheese, but it's not for everyone.
You give us a little bit of a lesson in cheese making in the book. Can you help us out? Maybe give us a quick lesson in how cheese is made?
Okay, basically, if it's made, if it's a farmstead cheese, which means it's made at the farm, basically it goes from the animals are milked, and then their milk gets taken to the cheese, the creamery, which is sometimes just across the street or in another room.
Mm-hmm.
But for most of Wisconsin's, even their artisan cheeses, they're not farmstead cheeses, so the milk has to get trucked in. After it's trucked in to the creamery, if it's a time that they're making cheese, they basically put it in the vats. Either it's pasteurized, if it's going to be a pasteurized cheese, or if it's a raw milk cheese, it just goes in as is. And then they add the cultures and the rennet. Cheese cultures are the bacteria cultures, and they're different depending on the cheese. And each cheesemaker has their own sort of special blend of whatever cultures they use. It's
mm-hmm.
sort of like their secret recipe.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, for example, Penicillin Roquefort is the one of the cultures that's almost that's always added to blue cheese.
Right.
It gives it that blue mm-hmm. veining. But
it's
the amount...
it's a mold, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
The amounts and the specific strains of it, that's usually what the cheesemakers keep as their secret. After that's added, then the cheese sets, and it sort of is like your Grandma Marvel's Jell-O salad. I mean, it sort of jiggles.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And then the cheese is cut into curds.
Yeah,
and the curds and whey separate. If it is a cheddar, the way that they, after the cheese harps, which are these big, they look like harps, but they're these big knives that kind of get dragged through the cheese vats, are separated. The curds get piled into piles, and then they become slabs. And they look like these bricks, and they get piled on top of each other, and that presses the whey further out of the cheese. Then it gets cut up into the curds that you know of as curds.
The ones that we buy at the farmer's market or get fried at the carnival.
Which is the cheese curds mm-hmm. are basically one step away from being finished cheese. What happens after they're curds, they're then... added, they're then pressed into cheese molds, and then it becomes cheese, and they're also salted at that time.
Yeah.
And how the salt is added depends on the cheese. Some cheeses are washed with salt. Other ones, like Swiss cheese, are brined in salt, which means the big wheels of cheese are soaked in salt baths.
Mm-hmm. And what puts the holes in a Swiss cheese?
That's actually the work of bacteria.
Oh, that's appetizing. but it is one of my favorite cheeses. And a baby Swiss as compared to Swiss is a matter of aging?
Mm-hmm. It's a matter of aging. It's also a matter of handling.
Mm-hmm.
Baby Swiss typically, unlike big wheel traditional Swiss, and the only cheesemaker who's making traditional 200-pound wheel Swiss is Edelweiss Town Hall Creameries. Their Emmentaler is out of this world.
Mm-hmm.
But Baby Swiss is typically, instead of a big wheel, it's made in blocks and aged, and it's not aged for nearly as long or as intensely. It's actually a different type of cheese compared to the regular traditional Swiss.
And I want to get back to the phones, but I will let listeners know that there is a section in the book where you go through all of the different creameries and cheesemakers who invite the public to come in and watch them make cheese.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And there are a lot of them, too.
There are a lot, and it's been a long Wisconsin tradition for many years.
Mm-hmm. Mark in Sparta is our next caller. Hi, Mark. You're on the air.
Good morning. Wonderful discussion this morning. Just wondering here, you know, a lot of people, they hear about the Wisconsin dairy industry, everybody thinks cows and that, but, you know, there's some of us out here milking goats, and I'm wondering if your guest there has had a chance to sample any of the varieties of goat cheese out there and what she thinks of them.
Mm. Oh, I think goat cheese is amazing, and it's interesting that you brought that up. What most people don't realize is Wisconsin produces more goat milk than any other state.
I didn't know that, yeah. And what makes goat cheese so good?
It's the cheesemaker, of course, who mm-hmm. puts that, and also the farmer who raises the goats. But goat milk cheese is different from cow milk cheese in that the profile of the milks. And Wisconsin's unusual in that we have a tradition of goat milk cheese, cow milk cheese, and even sheep's milk cheese. And we have at least a couple cheesemakers who are combining the milks into different cheeses, so they're mixed milk cheeses. I think goat milk, a lot of people just think of goat milk cheese as the fresh Chèvre, which I think is absolutely amazing. In fact, I just used some yesterday when I made a salad. Goat cheese also can be aged like cow's milk cheese, and there are probably not quite as many varieties of goat milk cheese as there are of cow's milk cheese, but almost.
Yeah. Can you give us a couple of examples of goat milk cheese that...
Varieties that people might not think of?
Mm-hmm.
Well, one is goat milk cheddar. Mount Sterling makes a really good goat milk cheddar. And if you're someone who says, ooh, I don't like goat milk cheese, you should really try their cheddar. You'd probably like it.
I'll have to do that because for some reason I do think of it. It's a very, very pungent, strong flavor that when I've had goat cheese it's not my favorite, let's put it that way.
Another one which is absolutely stunning and is an American original, which means there aren't any others like it in the world, is Sid Cook of Carr Valley Cheese makes Coco Cardona, and that's a hard goat's milk cheese that the rind is washed with cocoa and black pepper, and it's an amazing cheese.
And when it comes to sheep's milk cheese, I think of feta. Is that sheep?
Feta is, in the United States, it's mostly made with cow's milk. There's also goat milk feta. Capri
okay.
Cheese is one of those, and Dream Farm, they make feta. Capri especially makes a lot of really good goat's milk feta. Traditional feta is actually made half sheep's milk, half goat's milk.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, then I guess I do like half goat's milk. We need to check weather, and then we will take more calls. Your questions about cheese making in Wisconsin, your favorite Wisconsin cheeses. We are talking with Jeanette Hurt, author of The Cheeses of Wisconsin. 1-800-642-1234. In Madison, 263-1890. Or send an email to talk@wpr.org. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. This is the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine. 12 minutes before 7 o'clock on this Tuesday, July the 1st. Coming up, we will talk with two different guests about the state of our air travel system in this country. Some are predicting that the air travel system could collapse by the end of the year because of high fuel costs. We'll wonder if that's true coming up in our next hour. We're talking about the cheeses of Wisconsin during this hour with Jeanette Hurt, who has written a book about the cheeses of Wisconsin, a culinary travel guide. And our next caller is Celeste in Oshkosh. Hi, Celeste, you're on the air.
Good morning, ladies. I'm enjoying your show very much.
Yeah, thank
you.
On
this sunny morning. Several years ago, when I was raising my children, who are both now married and well into their own families, I exposed them, made it a point of trying different foods of different varieties. And when we got into the cheeses, we came across a white cheddar cheese that was quite sharp. It had hickory nuts and cranberries in it and was available at a privately owned grocery store up here in the valley only at certain times of the year and was almost a home-type packaging. By that I mean in a saran wrap. And I'm wondering if you're familiar of what that type of cheese I'm talking about, what if it has a particular name, or where I could find it.
It sounds like it was a seasonal cheese. If you go to the Wisconsin Milk Marketing Board or email them, they might be able to know which cheese that is.
Okay.
I would say they either they or perhaps the Dairy Business Innovation Center might know. That's another one. Both of them are listed in the resources section of my book, but I know that the Wisconsin Milk Marketing Board, if you just go to Google and type Wisconsin Milk Marketing Board, their website will pop up right away.
Well, actually, that was going to be my second question regarding your book, was does your book include places and how to contact them on different types of cheeses, and you've answered that question. So I'll look forward to purchasing your book.
Well, thank you.
As a resource. Well, thank you very much for answering my question. It was a very delicious cheese, a little bit difficult to slice. It had a tendency to want to crumble even at room temperature, but once it hit your mouth, it just
went. That sounds amazing.
Very smooth. It was just wonderful.
Yeah, sounds
especially
great.
With fruit.
Yeah, those sharper aged cheddars do tend to be crumbly, right, Jeanette?
They tend to have the crystal, those tiny calcium crystals in it that just kind of explode with flavor in your mouth. I love an aged cheddar, and there's nothing quite like it.
How come we so many cheddars are colored yellow? Was it just because the cheesemakers thought people wanted yellow cheese?
Back, I think, years ago when, if you know, basically, milk at different times of the year, it looks different depending on what the cows are eating. It's particularly luscious in fall, and it's probably a little bit more yellower in color if they've been pasture grazed. It's a really luxurious milk. I believe the story goes that to make all milk look more luscious, they added annatto, which is from a seed from a South American tree that just adds the yellowish orange coloring. And then somehow cheese got really associated with it.
It's amazing how people can really fall in love with the taste of a certain cheese. I was in the Appleton area on the weekend on Sunday, and I was with a brother-in-law who we stopped at a grocery store, and he said, "I've got to go see if they've got this." And it was an aged cheddar that he wanted to see if they sold this particular aged cheddar that he couldn't find in Madison. He said, and he had to, you know. So he was looking around, and he started talking about how different cheeses have different tastes, and it was almost sounded like he was talking about wine, you know, like the, you know, how it tasted in the mouth, and you know.
Mm-hmm.
That's interesting that you bring that up. But with cheese and wine have a lot of parallels.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a reason why for centuries cheese and wine have been eaten together. I believe wine has something like 700 different chemical compounds that produce flavor, taste, aroma. Cheese has about 200
mm-hmm.
of those same sort of compounds. So when you're talking about cheeses, if it's wine, that's pretty natural because it does have an aroma. And if you really savor cheese and if you talk, go to a cheese competition, the way they judge it, they look at it. They look at the color, the way it's structured, much like a wine judge would look at the color of mm-hmm. wine in a glass. You don't swirl cheese around.
Right, exactly. Susan in Pittsville is with us. Hi, Susan.
Hi, Joy.
Morning.
Good morning.
Do you have a favorite cheese, Susan?
Yes, I was just wondering if I didn't hear your whole program, and I was wondering if Jeanette had got to Widmer's cheese and Teresa.
Oh, yes. Joe Widmer is just a sweetheart, and his cheese is amazing.
My dad went to school with all the brothers that are, I believe, probably the next generation's running it now, and I know that they'll give you a tour of the factory and everything. It's just really a good cheese.
What's the name of the cheese factory, Jeanette?
Widmer's.
Yeah, and what makes it special?
Widmer's is the only cheese company in the United States that makes brick the way brick was made to be made. That is using actual bricks to press down the cheese molds.
Oh.
And
Is that where it gets its name?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Joe Widmer actually uses the same Cream City bricks his grandfather used to press down the cheese. And if you go to visit his little tiny creamery in the town of Teresa, you go there and you walk in the store area, and the store is just this little area cut out in the main cheese-making room. And if you're there earlier in the morning, they'll be making cheese. So you can see the actual Cream City bricks being placed on the brick cheese.
Susan, thank you so much for calling in. Try to get in another call or so before we're done. Teresa in Tomahawk, hi, you're on the air.
Good morning, and thank you for my call. Being a Minnesotan, I appreciate Wisconsin cheese, and I love it. And now that I've lived here, I noticed that, you know, Wisconsin is the best cheesemakers in the world, you know, based on Blue Ribbon and contests. And then you have the Californians who have their commercials and the cows. And they are quite creative and comical. And I did notice recently that some of their advertising has changed, but how is Wisconsin combating those large marketing firms that say, you know, California cheese is the cows? So just was wondering about your comments, and I'll take those off the air. And thank you very much.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think the best way Wisconsin's battling California and any other cheese-making places around the country is just the quality of the cheese. I think that speaks for itself, number one. Number two, Wisconsin is working to develop more cheesemakers who are into the artisan or specialty cheese. And one of the organizations that's really helping the little guy is the Dairy Business Innovation Center. And that is this organization that can basically hook up, you know, a little guy who, let's say, makes a great feta. But, you know, if you're a cheesemaker, you might not know how to design a great wrapper or know how to get your cheese into stores across the country. And that's where the Dairy Business Innovation Center can hook you up with some consultants who might be able to help you design an eye-catching wrapper for your cheese.
Yeah. They're one of the most decorated cheeses in Wisconsin with blue ribbons, apparently, is Wisconsin's Pleasant Ridge Reserve.
Oh, that's an amazing, amazing dream of a cheese.
Mm-hmm.
And I think what's really interesting is that the cheesemakers themselves came from a professional background, and they decided to make cheese. and they worked with the University of Wisconsin. They decided with their cows and with their land, they wanted to make an Alpine-style cheese, and they narrowed it down to Beaufort, which is like, I guess you could call it a specialty Gruyere. It's like the creme de la creme.
Mm-hmm.
And they worked on developing a special recipe. They tried out 8 different recipes, and then they picked the winner of, or what they considered their winning recipe. And 8 months after they started making the cheese, they won their first big award. But it wasn't a fluke because they kept winning.
Yeah. Well, we're going to have to leave it there. We're out of time, and I can't wait to try more of the cheeses that I found out about in your book. Thank you so much for being with us.
Oh, thank you for having me.
The Cheeses of Wisconsin, the book, A Culinary Travel Guide, the author, Jeanette Hurt. Jeanette also has another book out, The Complete Idiot's Guide to the Cheeses of the World. Thanks to Carmen Jackson, to Karen Prager, and to Cynthia Schuster for producing this hour. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.